Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And on today's program, it is the season finale.
Oh, no.
Of We Hate Movies.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're going out with a bang. We're talking sure. Con Air. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
And We Hate Movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, it's like we got senioritis around here. It's the end of the year. Summer breaks upon us.
Bouncing around the walls.
Although we will have, maybe, you know, a couple live episodes this August.
Scattered about.
I'm just trying to say there's going to be new content.
We'll be keeping you warm.
Stay tuned to the feed, everybody. Watching.
Don't unsubscribe. What are you doing? Don't unsubscribe.
By the way, when we get to this cliffhanger at the end of the episode, forget about you're going to be really excited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to be refreshing that feed every day.
Oh, man. Wait, is King Shark going to be on?
I wish.
The mystery of Who Shot Cabin will go on for the whole summer. You'll love it.
We won't get the answer until the end of season 7.
That's right.
Oh, but it's dead. Oh, we'll figure it out.
But until we get to that hilarious cliffhanger, today we're talking about Simon West's Con Air from 1997.
It's a pretty good movie. It's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie, man. It's a stupidly fun movie.
Really, really stupid movie.
But to your point, the senioritis thing, this is kind of like the movie they show in the last week of school. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, big time.
You're playing board games. Like, I don't know, put on Con Air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just say, all right, Con Air. Look, don't tell your parents. Yeah. You're all under 17. You shouldn't be seeing R-rated movies.
Was this R?
Of course
it
is.
Yeah, they're saying fuck up and down this movie. No.
Can I tell you guys a senioritis story?
I thought you were going to say, can I tell you guys a secret?
A sexy story?
Dude, I mean, either way.
Tell us a secret first.
My last day.
What's that secret?
Of junior high.
Uh-huh.
They had, at the end of the year, they have like a little like when you're transitioning from junior high to high school, they had like a little auditorium.
Yeah, our middle school was like seventh and eighth grade, and then when you went to ninth grade, there was a little lame like moving up ceremony.
Oh wow! What is the giver?
Yeah, I didn't get that. I just got a guy pat me on the back to jump out of the airplane.
So, well, you know, it was like a participation trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like congratulations, you did 2 years out of school.
That's so, really weird.
So me and my quote unquote bad boyfriends.
Ooh, your bad boyfriends. Everybody's had them. Chris Cabin's bad boyfriend.
Decided to skip the ceremony and go see Batman and Robin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And because we were so bored, we went out. This was at the old theater that me and Andrew worked at. Went out and dropped our tickets because back then they didn't think about this. Dropped our tickets to the second level, and our friends took our tickets to come and join us.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So I watched Batman Robin twice on my graduation
day. Wow, the perfect crime.
So this movie's like the Nick Cagiest of movies before he went crazy.
It's like right before you had like what we'd call caging out.
Sure. Yeah.
And I love it, man. I love all Cage.
But it's like proto-caging out, though.
Yeah, he's building up.
He's pretty jacked in this movie. He's got a terrible haircut.
Well, it's not a haircut.
It's a lack of a haircut.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's a mane.
He's got a terrible wig on. Or extensions, whatever. This is the movie, for anyone who doesn't remember, or maybe you haven't seen it because you might be like 13 or something.
Oh, then pause the episode and watch Con Air immediately.
Yeah, first things first.
Or have better taste, you mean.
This is the movie where... Wow.
Excuse me?
Wow. Wow.
Is that the secret? Is that the secret?
That's the secret. Wow, I thought we all agreed this would be a We Love Movies episode. The secret is Chris hates it. No.
It's okay to hate a movie.
It is okay. This is the movie where Nicolas Cage is getting released from prison for defending himself.
Yes.
And killing a man.
For standing his ground.
Exactly right.
Your limbs, boy, are designated as deadly weapons.
That's right. And so he's getting out of jail to see his daughter. And then John Malkovich and all his buddies take over the plane and hijack it.
Oh, sad.
With the plan of, what is the ultimate plan? Getting to Mexico?
Yeah, there's some like drug dealer they have to pick up at the next airport.
Mm-hmm. It's Mr. Andy Dufresne.
We are like barely talking about like Malkovich's endgame throughout this movie.
It just is.
It's
there.
Such an afterthought.
We're going to San Juanito.
Me and my goatee are going to San Juanito.
This is a bad look for John Malkovich.
Because it's like
bad look for anyone.
Well, here's the question: like, how do you make John Malkovich a tough guy? The answer is trick question. It's impossible. Yes. He looks so ridiculous.
Maybe a mask.
Maybe we have him yell a lot. Yeah, you're in trouble. Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Because he kind of just looks like a less intimidating Heisenberg.
Yeah.
It's
he
just
looks
not
like,
good.
Like a high school principal.
He's had enough of Cameron Poe and all of his buddies pranking people in the school.
Con Air High.
Ooh, I like that idea. Well, there's a
Con
lot of
High.
There's a lot of memorable characters for Con Air High.
I mean, it was a movie with a big cast. Like, this is a deep loaded cast. So we got John Cusack as, is he DEA or he's working for the justice system?
I think he's part of the
He's a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, right. Yes. Right.
And in Con Air High, he's the health teacher.
What's he telling him? How to use a condom?
You don't want to go in there.
John Cusack, you got Dave Chappelle.
Is a very young Dave Chappelle.
As Pinball?
Pinball Parker.
Is this pre or post Half-Baked?
It's probably right around. It might be the same day.
Same exact day.
Released theatrically the same exact day. And then, of course, Ving Rhames.
Mm-hmm.
What's his character's name?
Diamond Dog or Nathan Diamond
Nathan
Dog.
Nathan Diamond Dog. Yeah. I don't know if there's a last name or I don't know.
There probably is at the beginning.
The Dog Family?
He does list them off at the beginning.
Yeah, well, because everybody comes with a nice little story. It's like, all right, let me sit down, listen to what this character did, what that character did. Oh, my gosh, now this character's showing up. Here comes Steve Buscemi as Garland Green.
Right.
Oh, man.
And you name your kid Garland Green, you're asking for a serial killer.
Absolutely right.
And then here comes Gary Oldman as Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. I wish. Remember that movie, Fifth Element?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's a different timelines.
Right.
Yes.
Still fun.
No, I think it takes place in the same cinematic universe. If you watch Con Air, you'll see little hints of that fulfillment still to come.
Is the future after this event takes place? Yeah. In the textbooks, they have like, oh, this crash landing in Las Vegas. That was like their 9/11.
The turning point of society.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Con Air of 1997.
Which gave us the space opera society that we have in Fifth Element.
That explains the large bronze statue of a shirtless Nick Cage in Fifth Element.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Garland Green, he's like the world's most famous living serial killer.
He is an adorable serial killer, isn't
we
he?
We love him. We do.
Yeah, of course.
You got Michael T. Williams as, what's his name? Not Bubba Gump.
Baby-O.
I have diabetes, so make this movie happen.
Dude, that's, so let's talk about that. This is... one of the biggest plot points of this movie is Nicolas Cage.
The only, maybe.
Possibly.
I think it's the only plot point. Nicolas Cage needs to get Michael T. Williams, like, insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And we are saying insulin.
100 times at least.
At least 100 times in this movie. We're looking for it in all the wrong places.
Well, because half the movie is John Malkovich taking over the plane and, like, right, all of that stuff and which guards we're killing, which are we not. And then you cut back to Michael T. Williams and, like, oh, man, this diabetic shock is really coming soon. And it's like, oh, well, then let's just have it.
The trains are coming.
Because here's the thing. As far as the two major story arcs of this movie, which are the people who take over the plane and the people who stop them from taking over the plane, this insulin thing is not helping either side of the situation. No. Like, if he dies, nothing will happen either way. If he gets it, nothing will happen either way. But the movie spends the majority of its focus on this fucking diabetes
issue.
That's
what the movie is.
It's a secret diabetes, like, infomercial?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
There's an epidemic in this country, Andrew.
Diabetes.
And Simon West cares about it.
Diabetes.
Right? My EpiPen.
I'm EpiPen. Producing a movie about diabetes called Con Air.
You switch Michael T. Williams with Wilford Brimley. He's the old timer.
Get that insulin, goddammit. We're all going to lose another goddamn finger, goddammit. Can't even fire a rifle no more.
Here's the difference, though, is that he is definitely killing himself when he thinks that he is... like being taken over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, nope, I'm just going to let myself do it.
Lost my gun fingers. Gonna have to use my toes to shoot myself in the face.
No, I think it's definitely, fuck it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Still got a cyanide capsule stuck in my tooth from Korea, goddammit. I ain't got no qualms about taking myself out. Here we go.
Just gonna loosen this molar here.
I do like keeping that in just in case. Like, yeah, if it's in there, eventually I might need it.
Here's the thing. It could be used for anything. Like, say you're about to be trampled to death in a Black Friday Walmart stampede. Pop that shit right out. Dude, dead.
You know, accidentally eat it at Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, do you know of any dentist that might give me this? Because I'd be kind of into it.
You'd need a crooked dentist, like a dog dentist. You know what I mean?
That's
like how the mafia uses, like, veterinarians.
Oh, like horse doctors? Right.
Yeah, you need, like, a horse dentist.
Yeah, dude, you can find a
dentist
horse.
That's actually a horse?
Like Mr. Ed? Dr. Ed.
Oh, I'll do anything you want. Dr. Ed DDS. The price is right. I got a ton of cyanide here.
Put the money in the trough.
Don't ask me how it came about. All the cyanide. It's top secret.
I do secret surgeries for the mafia.
Figure that out. My daughter gave me this shirt.
Yeah, you're going to be okay. We're just going to bring you to the horse doctor. Sew you right up.
An actual horse.
He's the horse doctor. He's a horse.
Stand
and
still.
A doctor.
I'm all hooves.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Don Vito, you want this guy alive or what?
I feel like this could have been a vehicle for BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, I think so. He's in heat.
To be fair to this movie, and Steve, you mentioned this while we were watching it just now, but like we get right into this Con Air business.
Well, yeah. we do take a little detour. We have to praise the American military as it's the beginning of a Bruckheimer movie.
That's
it's
right.
It's the same thing of like, I think The Rock opens this way with like the military in action and planes taking off.
A lot of just B-roll of the military which is
fine. And then Cameron Poe is a U.S. Marshal. He goes home, he takes a boat to a bar, which Chris really enjoys.
Well, that's how they do it in Mobile, Alabama. That's what the movie's telling me anyway. And I'm certainly never going to go there.
He was shipping with the Perfect Storm crew before he touched down because he wanted some action before he got home to his wife and kid.
There could be other Cameron Poe movies. This
could, oh, I would
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think there's plenty of open. I mean,
like him fishing for a while on the open ocean.
Oh, and man, Cameron Poe, colon, Swamp Detective?
Yes.
That's definitely a movie.
You could do it now with Cameron Poe, you know, Nick Cage, obviously, now. Like 20 years later, he's taking his daughter to college, and the college gets taken over by super terrorists.
Yeah. Oh,
I like Moving it. Day, Cameron Poe in Moving Day.
Oh, I like it.
I thought you were going to say he's picking his daughter up from prison.
Or is it
also true?
She also like defended herself outside of a bar and shoved the cartilage in some person's.
It's the son of that guy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, just copy Die Hard 3 exactly.
And then, like, the college becomes like a battlefield, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And at the end, like, because it's like Moving Day, you know, at the end there's an orientation.
Yeah.
And then Cameron Poe has to lead the orientation at the end.
So here's we got to learn each other's names. A couple icebreaker games here. My name starts with a C, so I'm Curious Cameron.
Now, sweetheart, just fall back. I'll catch you.
Don't mind that I'm covered in blood. That's just those terrorists.
My tank top got all bloody trying to save this school here.
Mind the smell.
All your RAs are dead.
That might be a better title. Cameron Crowe and all your RAs are dead.
That smell ain't me. It's the horse doctor.
So he goes to a bar, and this guy who is a regular at the bar is in love with Monica Potter, his wife, Trisha.
Yes. Sure.
And I guess he's been waiting all summer to make his move. And the best time to make the move is when her Green Beret husband comes in and is having a sensual dance with her.
And you know what you want to do as this towny, flunky
guy? He's an Army Ranger, by the way.
Army Ranger, I apologize. Yeah,
please. Please apologize to the armed forces right now for what you just did.
I do apologize.
All right, carry on.
And this dude like sees him, like, of course he's going to show up. Like, this boat takes him right from like base to the bar, right?
Oh, base to the bar. That's another Cameron Poe adventure.
And he's all decked out, like in his dress greens and whatnot. And then this dude's like, yeah, I'm going to fuck with this guy. Like, let's start insulting this human weapon.
Wait. Was that Leanne Rimes just Oh, I'm going to fuck him.
Is that a veteran? Let's go spit on him.
I mean, it's outrageous. This dude's just like, you fucking pussy, Army Ranger boy. And it's like, yeah, what, really, dude?
And he's like, you're the reason we lost Vietnam. I'm like, you're like 31. I don't know. That's, you don't know what that is.
Yeah, so after some random veteran bashing, they have a nice night of dancing to Leanne Rimes, and then it starts raining, and on the way to the truck to drive home, he gets into it with this veteran hater and two of his veteran hating
the buddies.
Boys. Yeah, these good old boys, man.
And he pushes this dude's nose right into his brain, which is the way I want to go out.
Oh, because it's instantaneous. Yeah. Did you know that? It's like lights out.
That is awesome.
It's like flipping a switch, Eric. You don't even know what happened.
That is cool stuff.
You just see Nicolas Cage's palm coming towards your nose.
That's what it should be. If we have to have capital punishment, which I am against.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal goes into a room with a serial killer and pushes their nose into their brain.
Oh, that fat piece of shit can't do that anymore.
I was going to say, is this in the 1990s or now?
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right, now get Dave Bautista.
All right, yeah. He's physically fit. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know.
I don't think he would botch the job like Seagal today.
That would be the end of every Ultimate Fighting pay-per-view. Is like, and then now the execution.
Oh,
David Teese is pushing a dude's nose into
his That's what it is. Gosh. To get people to stick around till the end of the pay-per-view.
And then maybe Thanos shows up.
Could someone push his fucking nose into his brain already?
Just leave him dead on that space scooter he's got.
That's the first, like, he's about to say something in Avengers Infinity War, and Thor just does that. Credits.
Dude. And then, dude, is fucking him, he's hunched over dead in his little dumb scooter, and it's going around in circles. He's leaning on the fucking pedal with his fat foot. Fuck Thanos, man. I mean, that guy's fucking an asshole.
All the Infinity Stones just drop off into oblivion.
They're just everywhere.
Dude, that would be awesome. And then the Avengers just go on a totally different adventure.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Marvel? Think it over.
Put the Infinity Stone back in the box.
So he goes to jail for like 7 years or something like that.
7 to 10 years for manslaughter, but the judge has to point out, because you're an Army Ranger, your body is a weapon, boy.
That is weaponized. Even your dick, son, is a weapon.
Your body is a weapon, land.
So then we go through, like, he's writing all
sorts of... Your left cheek is a weapon. So is your right.
That anyway, hole's a cannon.
Oh, my God. He kills someone with his turds?
Oh, dude. He just, like, farts lethal gas.
Oh, shit.
Like, man's best friend, like dog that pees acid. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Funny enough.
Had too much mustard at the barbecue.
I rewatched Man's Best Friend this week just for fun.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
The pilot is in Man's Best Friend, the pilot of this movie. Little Little connection.
Oh. MC Gainey or like the legit pilot?
The legit pilot. Yeah, he's like her ugly boyfriend.
Fair enough.
Sure.
That dog does pee acid in that movie, though.
It's great.
It's pretty fantastic.
So whatever, flash forward, a bunch of letter writing. Nothing more exciting in an action movie than watching correspondence.
My daughter is 5 years old.
Thank you again for the Cool Ranch Doritos. They have made me very popular in prison.
Man, all over this movie.
Hey, Cool Ranch, when they coming in?
Letter day is tomorrow, my friend. You will have to wait in line for your one Cool Ranch Dorito chip. Every cell in the prison block gets one Cool Ranch Dorito chip.
Well,
and the warden gets the dust.
Well, I'm wondering, like, doesn't he just trade it for two cigarettes at some point?
Oh, yeah, he's not eating those Doritos every time.
No, look at him. He's physically fit the whole... I mean, there's no way.
Wait, do you guys think he's getting Doritos every day?
No.
This is going to be like...
A regular package, though.
Once a month he's getting Doritos. Mm-hmm. Once a month. I don't think they let any more Doritos through the front door.
It's contraband, Poe.
Well, no, that's why it's the small bag. That's right. The thing. They have a little chart when you go to the prison. It shows you what size Dorito bag you can bring in.
Poe, how many times do I have to tell you that? You got to tell your dumbass daughter to stop being sending these big old Doritos. 50-cent bag. That's it.
Can't be putting this family-sized bag of Doritos in here, Paul. What do you think, Sinbad's in here?
She's liable to start a riot, son.
This is a prison, not a Super Bowl party.
And didn't I tell you before, it can only be Cool Ranch, not Cooler Ranch.
Tell your stupid daughter I just sent back her spicy nacho Doritos. Getting fucking fancy on me, Poe.
It's the Taco Bell ones or nothing.
So he's about to be pardoned. He does get pardoned. He's got his friend is Michael T. Williams, whose name is Baby-O, which we said before. That's fun.
Baby-O, man. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Sure. They're about to be he's about to be transferred to a different prison, and wouldn't you know it, Cyrus the damn virus shows up.
Man, Cyrus the virus, John Malkovich, yikes. That sucks.
Michael T. Williams does call him Cyrus the damn virus.
Likes to brag that he's killed more men than cancer, which is impossible. Right? Just makes him sound like an idiot.
Hey, Cyrus, are you killing someone right now? Then you're not killing people more than cancer.
Are you exactly 15 Genghis Khans?
15 and no less.
Also featured in this movie is Danny Trejo as like Mr. 23.
Johnny 23.
Because that's the number of women he's raped.
Although to hear him tell it, he should be Johnny 600, which is weird. Not only that, but because he's got a tattoo of 23 roses on his arm. But if you were bragging about it, wouldn't you have 600 roses, dude?
Well, like, tattoos are expensive.
Yeah.
He's going one at a time.
Just all over his face. And he looks like a fucking rosebush.
He's just
They call
red.
Me Johnny Rosebush.
Johnny 600 sounds like a pretty cool, like, cyberpunk name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Yeah. That's a hacker.
Yeah.
Cool one of, Zero.
And... one of Decker's guys.
Yeah. Cool Ranch also is another awesome Cool
Ranch Dust 420.
Great cyberpunk.
No, Cool Ranch Dust is definitely a drug in the
The
Philip K. Dick future, I feel.
Yeah, and so is Nuke from RoboCop.
Yes.
Two,
I think.
Three?
Yes, two, I think.
Both? Well,
the good news is sexual violence. The threat of sexual violence pervades throughout this whole movie.
Oh yeah,
pretty important
because we've got a lady guard on the plane here, so she's just at threat from Danny Trejo the entire time.
Everyone has a more scary movie going on. You got the diabetes scare. You got this thing.
Yeah,
and then you got Nicolas Cage. It's like, I'm going home.
Can't wait to see my daughter.
What is this voice he's doing?
A gator bait accent, man.
Cameron Poe in gator bait? Oh, I like that idea.
A remake.
Wow. There's a super gator lost in the woods. I better go get it. I'm going to go spin kick this super gator.
And now I know what you're thinking. All right, we mentioned gator bait. That's a real movie.
It is.
Gator bait 2 is better. I'm just going to say it. Watch Gator Bait 2
instead. Film, I would say.
I have a vague memory of that being true.
Yes.
I like the idea that you think that someone in the world knows about this movie. It's like, oh, this podcast is garbage.
Well, listen, all right. If you're a normal person, do not watch either Gator Bait.
That's a great idea.
Do not stay far, far away.
So, basically, both Cyrus the Virus, Diamond Dog, and all these other people go in special cages, and then Dave Chappelle is in a different is in the Gen Pop airplane part of it,
right?
Where he throws up a condom with a bunch of gasoline in it and a match, and he lights this Native American dude on fire. The casual racism in this movie, and it's you know, an equal opportunity offender in air quotes.
Yeah. Oh, this is
put
why
that on the poster.
This is why this movie is that uncle of yours's favorite movie. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. Just kick back in your, like, leather Barca lounger. You got a Coors Light on both cup holders. Strap in to watch Con Air on HD DVD.
This movie's kind of like a long...
Man, he picked the wrong format.
Oh, that uncle's always picking the wrong format. He's got that Beta deck in his garage.
Yeah, it's definitely your brother-in-law's favorite Sunday movie.
It's like a shitty Facebook post, this movie.
It's a pretty good shitty one, if that's the case. I mean, this is not good.
No.
But, man, I've seen some stuff on Facebook. Turn your hair white.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yikes.
Did you ever go to high school with somebody?
Oh, did I ever?
And I got proof of it.
Yeah. Lordy Lord.
So he lights his dude on fire. That distracts the guards. And then Cyrus takes over the plane.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's pretty efficient, pretty quick. We're not, you know, doing too much here.
We haven't gotten to Cole Meany yet.
Oh, of course.
As Sergeant Hardcastle or whatever his name is.
What?
Vic Hardapple.
Yeah, fucking, you know, Lieutenant Grit Whistle. Like that. I mean, he is doing his best, like, as an Irish guy, to be an American gruff actor. Griff McRib. I mean, it is outrageous. I love Cole Meany on Star Trek.
And Hell on Wheels.
Well, you love him on Hell on Wheels, as we've discussed several times on the show.
Thomas Durant.
I like him in the winning romantic comedy Intermission. It's just a winning little film.
Speaking of movies that'll turn your hair white, man, whew, I like that movie.
Okay, Chris, where do you love Cole Meany from?
Welcome back to We Love Cole Meany.
I think it's isn't he in Voyager?
No, he's in Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. So
him and Keiko. Oh,
Keiko. My wife, Keiko, teaching gardening on
Deep Space
Nine.
I might have just opened
up
a door here.
Yes. Sorry, everybody.
Opened up a Keiko door.
So he drives a car that says Ass Kicker on it.
Oh, AZZ Kicker, man.
This guy's got a Facebook account, I'll tell you what.
Oh, Dirk McMuscle? Yeah, he does.
It's all pictures of that and then some iffy political stuff.
Yeah.
Pictures of that car, man. People love putting pictures of cars on Facebook, I learned.
Oh, totally.
Hey, look at this car.
Look, right. No, now look at this car.
I came here for faces, buddy.
Did you see that car, though?
Hey, you know, that radio station I listen to is pretty racist.
What is with that? Why are even the radio stations racist?
I don't know.
And there's something in the air. There's like something in the air in America in 2016, and I don't like it.
There's like a book, a marketing book, a social media marketing book that informs radio stations, and radio stations only, that your social media guy has to be 81 years old. I don't care who you are. That's funny. They're trying to get information on something, so they put an undercover agent who looks like Monk on the plane.
Oh, I think it's because there's that Colombian drug lord.
Yeah, okay, they're hip to getting to South America or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Calmini like puts this dude in undercover, gives him a gun, which is what you want to do.
Sure,
yeah, you want to put a gun on a plane with the world's worst super criminals.
And he also strapped to him has. And I don't know if this is just a sign of 1997 and I wasn't aware of it, or this movie might be a period piece. Although John's cell phone's leather-cased cell phone kind of gives it away.
John Cusack? You just called him John's cell phone.
Yeah. I guess John Cusack's cell phone case, his leather cell phone case might give it away.
John's cell phone. I just took over the Sunglass Hut. At kiosk in the mall, if you want to buy a cell phone case, come to John's cell phone.
It is 1997, and my name is John Cellphone. It is the what a time to be alive.
And it is now 2016, and that cell phone kiosk did not go well. So
I don't even remember where I was going with the time period thing. That John's cell phone flub ruined me.
His cell phone looked weird or something?
It looks like it's wearing a leather dress.
This might be a period piece. I think you were suggesting this might take place in the 80s or maybe like an alternate timeline.
No, I was going to say like early, like maybe like a late 80s situation, but now I don't remember what the reasoning was.
The thing is, they should put all these criminals in the magnetic super prison from Face Off.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, obviously.
They get the Mario Brother boots. They stick them to the floor, man.
Yeah, these people actually should be in that prison, other than the accountant, Thomas Jane.
Who is there any white-collar crime on Con Air, or it's just like the real bad dudes, right?
It's the real bad dudes, and then whatever the fuck Michael T. Williams and Nick Cage are doing on that plane.
Right. Well, yeah, you don't really know why Bubba Gump is in jail. Mm-hmm.
I killed 30 school children.
Just like, can I have that insulin, please?
He saved my life.
Please save my life.
I'm a notorious... He's a notorious child killer, but that doesn't mean he deserves to die from diabetic shock.
Well, yeah, Cameron Poe is just for the common man.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to keep him alive until we get where we're going so he could be strapped in the electric chair.
So I'm just trying to see justice served.
Exactly.
Those families deserve it.
So we got to touch down for the first of several times in this movie, because there's like a like another pickup they have to make. So
and
like,
this is where they're going to get the South American drug guy that's going to do something.
Right. Like bring them all the safety in his jet or
with
whatever.
Money for John Malkovich for breaking him out of prison, I think is the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Protection
going to San Juan.
Yeah.
So we touch down. We're now pretending that some of us are guards, kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Including Cyrus the Virus walking out there with his mask down. Like,
and we're told...
You're famous!
We're told endlessly that this guy's like a famous criminal.
Like, could you imagine Charles Manson doing this? Being like, what's with that swastika on your forehead?
We gotta get these prisoners back!
Had to back him and gag him, yeah!
Well, that seems pretty normal.
Yeah, it checks out.
I think I chatted with you on Facebook once.
It's Charles Manson and Edward Snowden next to each other with masks off. All the world's most notorious criminals.
Right. The worst we got. That's the real life Suicide Squad. Edward Snowden, kind of Charles Manson. putting the band back together.
The ghost of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. He's involved.
Oh, yeah. Do some black magic, have a seance, bring old Jeff Dahmer back.
Like Enchantress or whatever her name is.
Yeah, sure. She can do it.
What?
There's a lady in the Suicide Squad called Enchantress.
And what does she do?
Magic.
Enchants.
Necromancy?
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Possible.
Now, what does Slipknot do? Apparently there's a guy named Slipknot, according to some poster I saw.
I think that they were literally, like, he's like an obscure villain from whatever. He's a noose dude or something. But, like, I think that they were like, all right, we want this movie to be as metal as fuck. Oh, damn. This DC book of superheroes has a guy named Slipknot in it. I don't care. He's in the movie.
We want this movie to be as metal as fuck, and then in the trailer we're going to play a Queen song.
Sure, man. Arena rock.
So, you know, Cusack and Call Meany are kind of like butting heads in this movie, is the idea.
Because he's a liberal whatever or something. That's right. Like the thing.
Oh, you just reminded me, after my embarrassing flub with Cusack's name, the guy that they have undercover, like, I couldn't tell the time period because he's wearing a wire. And he's got the biggest tape recorder I've ever seen, like, tucked under his armpit.
It's a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
It's outrageous.
It's a boombox.
Like, all right, yeah, we'll slip a small gun in his sock, but we'll also put, like, I don't even know what. Like, crap's last tape in his shirt.
This wire's too big. We're going to have to put him in a fat suit. It's, like, waddling to the plane.
So this guy does pull his gun out and tries to fire on everybody, and then, like, he just gets murdered.
Which is so stupid. Like, the instant he's being let out of his restraints, he pulls his gun. Like, you could have tried to gain... You were there to try to gain confidence of people. Like,
you were undercover.
Do your mission. And you know what? If you see the opportunity to kill whatever... Then
John Malkovich? Yeah, sure, yeah.
Sure, but, like, don't immediately pull your gun. What a bonehead.
And he's shown to be, like, skittish even, like, earlier in the movie when Call Meany's strapping him in and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of, like, freaking out and being, like, nervous and stuff. But, and then, so he loses it and dies.
And at some point, like, Nicolas Cage catches John Malkovich's eyes, like, oh, good work, Poe. You're a good man to have by my side or
because
something.
Because he helped him kill that guy.
Yeah, he kind of does. He's not too upset that this guy gets murdered.
But that's Nicolas Cage's character knows that's how you go undercover, man.
No, because he makes a face like if you had to, like, if you got a rude server at a restaurant when this guy dies. Just, like, shakes his head like...
Yeah, last thing this guy, like, have a little compassion, Cameron Poe.
Well, you know, it's the DEA.
Yeah, I don't so like telling people more than once. He tried to help him out, man.
Oh, I thought Gary Busey was showing up.
No, sorry. I had to put the horse teeth back a little bit there.
Oh, yeah, we were doing a horse earlier.
Yeah, no, getting all these great impressions mixed up.
The best, I hear. The best in the biz.
That's true. Now get ready for my John cell phone impression. It's going to be wild stuff.
It's just a ringtone.
So whatever, yeah. Like John Malkovich is walking around this tarmac with his face wide open to everybody.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle takes the transponder,
right,
and puts it into a whatever
like
their
tourist plane, like
Uncle Bob's tourism rides.
Yeah, a little biplane.
Show you the canyons.
Oh, and... geez, hon, that looks like a lot of fun. Going on Uncle Bob's tourism ride. Ah, oh, geez, look at that. Look how pricey it is.
Isn't that majestic?
I don't know, hon. It's just a big hole to me.
Is that one of them Con Airs out there? Have you heard about that, hon? They just fly prisoners all throughout the country.
Hey, Uncle Bob, I know you're flying there, but is that one of them Con Airs next to us?
You know, I read the back of a New York magazine, and they were talking about something like that.
The back of a New York magazine?
Well, I wasn't going to buy it, hon. A little pricey. I think magazines these days, hon, are about New York prices.
I think I see Cyrus the Virus on the tarmac there, hon.
Oh, geez, hon. You know, he's one of my top 10 favorite criminals.
Yeah, everyone knows who these criminals are.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Like, they all have playing cards with these nicknames. Fucking Garland Green. That's just dumb.
Billy Bedlam.
Oh, Billy Bedlam.
What in the Lawrence world Lane. Is Billy Bedlam?
Like, what is with all the alliteration?
Killian Chaos.
Yeah, all the alliteration. Oh, it's insane. It's crazy.
It's one of the rules of good writing. Don't use annoying alliteration.
No. Right.
I'm curious, Cameron.
Whatever, man. I'm Danny Diabetes.
We're your orientation leaders. As a reminder, all your RAs are dead.
They are still currently dead, but the orientation must go on. I couldn't throw you into this college atmosphere cold.
Now this.
To play these games.
This is a social sciences building.
Don't worry now. All your RAs may be dead, but we did not call your parents. We are staying in college.
Or the police. Let them handle it, their own thing.
So we're like getting ready to take off at this point because like the fuzz catches wind. So we're trying to get back up in the sky to get, you know, get out of their sights or whatever. And Dave Chappelle's like running after because he's like hitting on this woman by the biplane.
Sure. He's been in prison for many years.
Yeah. And so then he's like running after it, and he gets like scooped up in the landing gear.
Yikes
is right. They do a stupid thing, though, like where he's running alongside the plane and he's like yelling. It's the Native American dude that he set on fire. And he's like yelling at the guy from outside like, hey, sorry about lighting you on fire. And like you can hear it crystal clear what's going on.
It's not how planes work.
No, not at all. I was happy to see though that that guy that got lit up got medical attention.
Yeah, he does. He has bandages all over his face. Is someone a crooked doctor? Is Richard Kimball on this flight?
Oh, maybe. He's one of history's greatest criminals, too. He'd be in my suicide squad.
No, they probably killed him because he's like, I didn't kill my wife. I'll fucking kill you that guy. I don't want to hear
his superpower is he's a master of disguise.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he can dye his hair and everything.
Mm-hmm. Love that fake nose.
And a master forger as well.
Mm-hmm. And living in Polish women's basements. Pretty good at that.
Would that make Deputy Gerard Rick Flag?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Better movie.
Probably.
So we're back up in the air, and they're doing this thing where they're like, oh, man, you know, we're going to be there in such and such a time because we're supposed to be going 220 miles an hour, but we're only going to go in 208 because the landing gear didn't go up. Why don't you go check that out? And like, so Ving Rhames like goes down and he makes Nicolas Cage like get in there and see what the deal is. And what's revealed is that it turns out Dave Chappelle didn't get run over by that plane because Dave Chappelle's puppet got run over by that plane. This thing is the fakest fucking dead body.
Why not just use like hire Dave Chappelle for one more day and use like, you know, dead
like,
makeup?
Think about the amount of money that would have gone into making a puppet.
Like you have to, you probably got like measurements and everything because they probably tried to do it as close as possible. And so like
the biggest disappointment is we never see this puppet again.
No.
Like they should have saved it for Cranky Anchors. Was he on that show at all?
Yeah, he must have done at least one little stint.
Like I've said before, I'm not entirely sure that I didn't have a spot on Cranky Anchors. Everybody was on it, man.
But yeah, like it would make
you're
sense.
In there somewhere.
It's a bunch of Muppet-looking things and this weird, like, dead Dave Chappelle doing a little routine.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
So Cage writes, like, John Cusack's name or whatever. Like
Vince Larkin.
Yeah, on, like, the undershirt of but Chappelle puppet.
And it's, like, so long. It's like, dearest Deputy Vince Int Larkin.
I've been gone a fortnight now, and I do become my worst enemy up here.
Today is my little girl's birthday. And
June
secondly,
14th.
June 14th. That's right. That's right. Shirt I'm talking to.
The days grow longer every day. This is one hot summer.
Ving Rhames is like, hurry up, trailer trash.
Oh, okay. Feels like I'm on some type of Con Air up here. Oh, by the way, we're landing at the Lerner Airfield. Yeah. Thank you.
So he drops him out of the sky, and
this puppet goes flying.
And it lands on this car. And I mean, this dude, if you fall off a plane,
yeah,
you are dust. You turn into red dust. Like the old Batman movie when everyone turns it, all the congressmen turn into dust. That's what's left of you is dust and boots. not a t-shirt that you could read and tell people where what airplane you're landing
it's
on.
It's like not even, not only would it be drenched in blood, it'd be beyond that. It would be destroyed for sure, but also like all those inner guts, like, all the black fluid running through
us. Oh, sure.
Like all the bile and shit.
Yeah. It's all over that tank top. That's what you're saying.
You can't read Nicolas Cage's loving note to
like
John Cusack.
What we need is a scene like immediately after that where some dude's like, there's a piece of that tank top, and there's a piece, and there's a piece, and this dude like puts it together. They have to take some special frequency picture of it because it's just covered in blood.
Enhance.
It's
like,
exactly.
It's like Manhunter.
Yeah. I don't know, Riley. I think we got scanners. I think we got scanners here.
Oh, yeah. So this massive car accident happens when this puppet hits the car and everything. It's pretty great.
So then John Cusack. Oh, by the way, like this, Cole Meany wants to, he finds out his guy is dead. He wants to shoot down the plane.
Oh, right.
So he gets to the plane. He gets into like this Apache attack helicopter.
Sure.
And wants to shoot it down. He almost shoots down the Bob's tour plane, which is cute.
Oh, hey, hon, we almost got murdered by the DEA there.
Well, this is a Bruckheimer. It's kind of a Michael Bay move, but they kind of ape it in this. That, yeah. Like, here comes the big explosion, but here's the cute moment right before it.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. You're just missing, like, a dog in this plane.
I don't know. It made me smile.
So, yeah, like, Cole Meany's whole thing is, like, he killed my buddy, so I should just take down this plane worth of 20 other people.
And, like, John Cusack's yelling at him, so he steals his car?
Yes, he steals Cole Meany's ass-kicker car. Oh, right,
because he sees that it's going to be at Lerner Airfield, and he has to drive there very fast.
Very fast, so you need a very fast sports car to set up this gag that makes any trailer great. It's like eventually we remember this. The plane falls from the the plane pulls the car up in the air and then it falls. Pretty hilarious.
It's pretty delightful is what it is.
It's a nice moment. It's a great trailer moment.
And all the while, we've got some grade A fart rock guitar solo happening.
Holy shit, this movie's rotten with it.
It's the only movie scored by guitar that
I've
seen.
It's scored by an electric guitar. You're totally right.
Bad Boys.
Oh, well, yeah.
Bad Boys has a lot of big guitar in it.
Was that Bruckenheimer?
That is also Bruckenheimer.
He's fucking stealing left and right from his buddy Michael Bay, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like sad versions of it. There's action versions of it.
Romantic.
Oh, yeah, some sexy guitar solo. Oh, that's definitely
a mandolin.
A little bit of a guitar that leaves you. Ooh, this is a little bit of danger here. It's a dangerous guitar. A little intrigue guitar here.
I like it.
There is a very flamboyant character in this movie.
Sure.
When they land, by the way, he immediately like runs into this store looking for a dress to put on.
Sure.
That's what this movie's doing.
This is a movie again that you're. Oh, that's what they would do.
Oh yeah, he can't even be on the ground 2 seconds without looking for a dress. Woof, woof, town man.
Yeah, they landed this like dusty old field. By the way, MC Gainey is the pilot who's
Swamp Thing,
the great MC Gainey.
Great, and Chris just reminded me when we were watching the film together, which is a rare treat when we watch a film together, that MC Gainey shows his nude parts. In
penis.
It's penis.
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 Penis flops around in your face sideways.
Whoa. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, dude.
That's what that thing's called?
Yep. Oh, great. I just saw Swamp Thing's dick. Oh, man. He was fucking my friend's wife.
And that was in Sideways.
It was in towards Sideways. The end of Sideways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't come back from that. Oh, man. It's going to haunt my dreams. Like, this is me before I saw it. Hi, my name's Paul Giamatti. Now this is me now!
MC Gainey's dick will change ya!
Zoinks!
I'm going to have to look that scene up.
Just to go to Mr. Skin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Wait, would that be a Mrs. Skin?
Possibly.
Oh, I was going to ask, does Mr. Skin bother with the fellas?
I think he should. Yeah. It's 2016. I think Mr. Skin needs to.
You think he's an equal opportunity offender?
I would love him to be.
Hey, untapped market, I say.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's plenty out there. It can't just be Kevin Bacon and Wild Things.
But if it had to be, I'd take it.
And Jeffrey Rush and Quills.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, Ewan McGregor and everything.
Oh, my God. Harvey Keitel in Bad Lieutenant.
Oh, that's a good one. He's maybe, dancing high.
And also the piano.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Piano. I'm so glad you're back, Chris, to confirm all these dick sightings. Oh, yeah. I was about to say the piano, too, but I was not sure.
Or Frank Langella in the Lolita remake.
Oh, is that in there?
Oh, yeah. He's running down a hallway firing a gun, and that robe is just open.
You sure that's not Frost Nixon?
Get back here, Frost. And another thing.
Let me show you a thing or two about asking questions.
Well, it's just tapes. You didn't know what was going on. Harumph.
They're making a movie out of what?
What a boring premise for a film.
So at this point, Nicolas Cage leaves the plane, and like he keeps, it's got like, it's kind of like the unpopular kids in the lunchroom form their own little clique. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
well, you know, everybody finds each other.
It's him, the lady who's chained up, and Danny Trejo keeps going like looking at her and smelling her hair, which is nice.
Sure, that's what I want.
And Michael T. Williams is like, oh my God, insulin, insulin. So I was like, all right, I'll go down and find the insulin on this barren airfield.
It's like a weird ghost town situation that
it's
we're
a
in
dump.
Here.
Dump! Isn't it just a dump?
There's a definitely
a scrapyard.
Yeah, there's a junkyard vibe going through this.
Yeah, I would say
a couple of junkyard dogs too.
Oh, cool! It's a hospital. Like, what are we talking? Why would there ever be insulin anywhere near this airfield?
Well, he's gonna look anyway because that's his best friend in there.
Apparently, I know in the film we saw insulin destroyed.
Uh huh.
But apparently, he's just looking for a syringe.
Oh, right.
Like
right.
He asked an old man after a bunch of explosions happens.
Yeah, because there was one vial of the insulin actually left, but he needed, like, a syringe. They broke all the syringes.
They needed the syringe, right, yeah.
So we're looking for that. We're going around this it's not a town, but it's, I don't know. It's a former airport?
I guess so. It's all dusty and weird and
ghost airway.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, yeah, ghost plane? Totally.
Flying the unfriendly skies.
Ooh. Transylvanian air.
It's around this time, by the way, that we get the biggest time suck of the movie, Steve Buscemi's field trip.
It's also the most what are we even trying to accomplish with this?
You're just trying to show how bad and twisted this totally inconsequential character is.
Yes.
Could be.
Yeah, like he doesn't do anything in this movie. For such a hyped up Hannibal Lecter treated guy, nothing comes of this.
He gets the most heavy metalist intro of them all, by the way.
It is
like and like machinery crunching against
It's almost like the fucking Terminator theme song when
it
this
is
guy
kinda
comes out.
Garland Green.
He has also like got a mask that he looks like one of the drummers from Slipknot.
You're right. You're right.
And in case you were wondering, Slipknot has multiple drummers.
I wasn't, but thank you.
Yes.
Oh, is that why it sounds so bad?
So, yeah, it's just him having a tea party with a little girl, and they keep cutting back to it. You keep thinking that he's going to kill her.
It's a weird, like, this, it's like a trailer, but they've got an in-ground pool. It looks like one of those fake towns they launch A-bombs outside of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is
or a Tool video.
I'm like, is he having, like, a tea party with a ghost? Is this, like, an invisible, like, baby ghost that
Thank
he
you
murdered.
For bringing up the ghost angle, because I have a ghost theory on this scene that is different.
Oh, please.
Cameron Poe actually got the electric chair and this is all in his head.
No. I'm a friendly ghost that can skin, that can spin kick people.
Or skin them.
or that.
I know. I wish it was that, actually, because that sounds pretty good. That's a great fan theory. But I was thinking that Garland Green actually does murder this girl viciously.
Yes.
And then later on, we see her like wave at the plane.
Oh.
And that's her ghost.
Goodbye to my killer.
Like, he kills her so. He kills
Thanks
her
for
so,
setting me free.
Yeah, from this fucking hellscape I
or
live
Or does
in.
She not even know it? Because if you get killed fast enough, guys.
That's true.
Oh, you don't even know.
You don't even know you're a ghost.
You're dead and you don't even know it.
I could be a ghost right now.
I could be a ghost, Mark.
I will be soon, Mark.
And then you'll be sorry.
Kersplat, boo.
First it goes the career, you son of a bitch. That's certainly dead.
My career's a ghost. Yeah, Jay Leno gets everything. But no, because to your point, like, they keep cutting back, and eventually it's just him alone. You're like, oh, he must have killed that girl.
Right.
But when the plane finally takes off, she's like, goodbye, everybody.
Hi, Conair. See you next Christmas.
Wasn't this useless? Why is this movie 2 hours?
And also with the way that it is played up until that point, like, you never see him like get close to her. He doesn't produce a weapon. It's just him walking back from the house and he's holding a doll.
Yes.
You could just leave her dead. Well, like, it's fine. He doesn't have blood all over him or anything.
I'm almost positive this is like one of those pickup shots, like after a test screening.
Oh. You get that girl back to that trailer park and you fucking film her waving at that plane, goddammit.
We unkilled you.
good. I could come back for the sequel.
But I mean,
Con Boat.
Oh, I like it.
Con Boat Cruise Control? Totally.
But no, no, no. Con Boat Convict Control.
Oh, yeah.
That's even worse.
And they crash into Boat Trip?
Yeah.
With sexy results?
Isn't Boat Trip... No, I haven't seen Boat Trip, but I heard it's got problems.
It's a gay panic movie.
Yeah, okay, oh, good. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah, oh, big time.
Great. Roger Moore's in that movie. You know that?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Wait, like as like a corpse? When do they wheel him out?
He's a floater. It's true.
Mr. Skin, what time code is Roger Moore naked in Boat Trip?
So eventually then Cameron Poe is like fighting all these Colombian drug lords.
This is when you get a really cool spin kick. This is when him and Cusack finally team up.
Oh, they like, team up, yeah.
Like, you're like, why mm-hmm. would they even care about each other?
Wonder Twins, activate.
Yeah. He's like, Cusack's like, hey, are you the guy that wrote that very long, eloquent note on that dead puppet's tank top?
Yeah, I am. Are you Vince Larkin?
I am.
Well, I guess we're little buddies.
Come here, brother.
I'm your huckleberry.
I'm a little buddy of yours now.
Could you imagine an action in the year 1980-something? Like, if you were in 1986, hey, you know there's going to be an action movie, a huge action movie with John Cusack and Nick Cage.
Oh, man, yeah, I wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
What, the string bean from Say Anything? Yeah, he's going to be in action movie, huh?
And that weirdo from Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah. I mean, good luck with that.
And then they'll both go on to decades worth of direct-to-DVD movies that no one even knows about.
Dude, John Cusack loves Netflix. He's like the king of Netflix.
Oh, dude, yeah, totally.
The reigning king of Netflix.
Cage is kind of the same way, though. I just watched some movie where, like, Nick Cage, like, his kid gets, like, kidnapped by ghosts or something.
Oh, you mean pay the ghost?
Pay the ghost?
Wait, what? Well,
yeah.
Hold, stop everything. Turn the podcast off.
It's click.
Okay, all right, it's off.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Pay the Ghost.
That's yes. right.
And it stars Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
As a guy paying a ransom to a ghost.
Well, you'd think that. There's no...
Just like you ask ghost in small bills.
Small, unmarked bills.
With a lot of oohs after it.
No, like, he takes his kid out to, like, the village Halloween parade, and the kid vanishes, and then it's, like, cut to a year later, and spooky stuff is happening, like Nicolas Cage becoming a tenured professor of literature.
That is scary.
You know what you just did? Sold me on this movie, because I'm seeing it tonight.
It's kind of not great, though. I wanted it to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of just, like...
A movie.
It's too late. Aaron Drew, it's too late. He's going to watch it tonight.
All right, Steve, but I'll just say this. It's not a horror movie. It's like a shitty family drama with a ghost in it.
Oh, okay.
And it's like we're tracing the history of this witch.
Okay.
MC Gainey just pulled this plane right up.
I'm trying to save your Saturday night, man.
Nick Cage and Ghost, you got to see
it. Yeah,
I'm going to see it now, too.
Yeah, I mean... It's kind of worth it for the last 10 minutes, now that I think of it.
Yeah, okay,
all right.
But I don't think anyone's paying shit, though.
Yeah, Andrew, let's start the podcast again.
Click. All right, so this is kind of also around the time the drug dealers like get hip to what's going on, and they're like, let's get the fuck out of here. And they try to like ram the plane out. They've got their own like jet that's hiding in a bunker or something.
And also like the military, the National Guard has come, and they know where everybody is, so like they're gonna drive in and kill everybody.
Yeah, there's like tanks and you know RAV4s,
and all of a sudden I missed where this is, where like
scary,
where John Malkovich gets all the guns in the world.
That is, it's like underneath the plane because
there's like a cargo hold.
Yeah, yeah, it's like all the like prison guards' shotguns that they need.
But then why is John Cusack like, oh, you can't take the world's tiniest gun on this plane that has all of the guns in the world on it?
Because that dude is undercover, yeah. And he's saying like they're gonna find your gun, because I think it's a thing where the prison guards on the plane don't even know that this dude's DEA is the thing.
Correct.
They
yeah
do not.
I
thought you were gonna say that they didn't even know where the guns were.
No.
Nobody knows what these guns are.
They didn't know where the guns were. They did not know how to pay the ghost
prisoners.
As you hope might have expected, I'm pretty sure one of the guards says a casually racist thing to him.
Oh, I'm sure there's a couple of things.
There's a lot of casual racism. It's 1997.
So, yeah, there's like a big shootout that happens. This plane comes out, and the guy like gets out. There's gasoline dripping everywhere because, of course, and he's like, I promise, John Malkovich, we were just coming around to pick you up. And Malkovich lights this guy on fire.
Well, this guy says, Psy, because that's, you know, Cyrus.
Oh, right.
And then he goes, Anara, and tosses the cigarette into
Psy,
the
air. Psy, Anara.
And thankfully, I mean, what's more exciting than a man burning to death is finally this guy can get his insulin shot, which is
right.
I mean,
yeah. So he gets it. And what happens 5 seconds later?
Bubba Gump gets shot in the gut.
Correct.
Right after he started to walk again. Right?
Oh, yeah. God, I can't watch this movie. I'm on the edge of my seat. Is he going to get it or isn't he going to get it? Ooh, oh, boy. He got a shot, goddammit. Oh, now he got shot, goddammit. That was all for naught. Mother, get in here and change the channel.
I don't need a remote control. I got a wife.
This is no longer a diabetes adventure.
Mother, get in here and change the diaper.
And the dial while you're at it.
Mother, make the volume a little louder. No, that's too much. Mother, why are you taking that pillow? No.
Oh, smothered by my mother.
Who's also my wife.
Figure that out.
So then we're back up in the air again after some tricky business with MC Gainey getting this plane off the ground. This is where we're dragging Calmini's car behind the chain, yes. By the way, because Cage ties that up nicely.
And why can't we just stay in the gosh darn air and Con Air, man? Like,
because there's not a lot of space for Jerry Bruckheimer to run around.
Yeah. He needs to blow a lot of stuff up. You can't blow that much stuff up in the air.
But Steve's right. It's Con Air,
yeah.
Not Con Land.
That's true.
And, honestly, if it's like the movie Passenger 57, a great action movie that also has a lot of casual racism in it.
It's not so casual in that one.
It's
not so great. Go on.
We spent the last 20 minutes of Passenger 57 at a fairground.
That's the thrill of the hunt, though, Steve.
Yeah.
I think it's the same fairground that we spend the last 10 minutes of Child's Play 3.
Mm. Relatively.
Very possible.
And Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Oh, that's just a whole time in that fairground. Right. Oh, that's an
amusement park.
Yes, you're right. That is an amusement or a theme park.
They should have used Wally World for it. What a cool crossover.
Oh, man, yeah, if the Beverly Hills Cop movies took place in the Vacation verse.
Yes, totally.
I like it.
That actually
like
kind of makes sense.
And it does.
Him and Cousin Eddie?
Oh, yeah. Cousin Eddie's murdered right in the street.
Shot like a dog in the street.
Oh, totally. And
then Axel has to go and solve the case.
Clark Griswold teams up with Axel Foley and pretends to be a cop along.
Coffin's full. That joke doesn't make sense. But you laughed.
I thought, I got it.
All right. So we're back in the air now. At this point, John Malkovich does realize that Nicolas Cage is in on it or has been trying to foil him this entire time. He does shoot Michael T. Williams in the chest. Sure.
Sure, whatever. Cage.
And like he's like kind of holding on. He's like, oh, no, buddy. I'm gonna get you a new heart transplant.
Yeah, really. I'm going to search around for a baboon heart to put in you. Well, it's ridiculous because like there's definitely a shot at one point in the movie overhead and he's totally just lying there dead.
Yeah.
And then later in the movie when the plane's back on the ground, he's like, oh man, my gunshot.
Oh,
like,
do you think that was another test audience change?
It might be.
I think this thing got, you can tell with this movie, they really overthought everything.
Because also Nicolas Cage does not have like a goodbye scene with him.
No.
Yeah. And you'd think you would with your best, you know, insulin bud.
I mean, you're doing Bubba Gump again.
Yeah. It's the motivation for the whole Dern movie. You know what I mean? Like, you think that should be the point of it.
Did we talk about how Nick Cage kills poor Billy Bedlam?
Oh, no. They just get in a fight because Billy Bedlam finds, like, his, like, release papers or whatever.
Right, yeah. So it turns out he wasn't in prison for 15 years, like, he had claimed.
Oh, his cover story, yeah.
Yes,
he's just getting a transfer, as it were.
Right.
Parolee.
Right, so he's dead.
Yeah. Also, like, he leaves Billy Bedlam dead on the plane. Like, chuck that guy. Exactly. Write another message. Like, oh, by the way, I'm getting closer to the airport.
Oh, God, it would be great. P.S. We are now en route towards Las Vegas.
Well, exactly.
I have never been to Las Vegas. Neither has my baby girl, Casey.
Her birthday's today, June 14th.
July 14th.
Oh, July, pardon me.
Oh, my God. Let me just scratch that out that I wrote June 14th. I'm sorry how messy this shirt has become.
Let me turn this cadaver over and start again.
Continued on the next back.
I'm going to draw you my favorite Ninja Turtle.
Can you tell which one it is?
I know the color's not there, but you know, once he hits the ground, maybe you'll realize it's Raphael.
Here's my rendition of Turtle Sutherland. I took a class through the mail in prison. I'm a drawer now.
Oh, wait, the plane landed and we're in Mexico? Let me just start all over.
Change of plans.
Dearest Federales, I hope you like this photo of Turtle Sutherland.
I hope you like me writing on someone's underwear now.
At one point, Nicolas Cage like takes back control of the plane and says something about like, I'm going to show you God does exist. And he just starts like fighting people.
Well, then because Michael T. Williams is like, oh, man, I'm going, man. I'm going to die. I don't even believe in God anymore. And I'm like, what movie am I watching? He's like, I will show you that God does exist.
Welcome
by spin kicking the life into people. Spin kicking the Lord into the world.
Welcome to God Air.
Be gone, demon. I'm going to spin kick you out of this body. Yuck. This movie needs to come with more than one spin kick, by the way, because that's like a mid-movie spin kick.
He's kind of just like Chuck Norris in this. This is like a Chuck Norris movie with more money and Nicolas Cage.
If that beard was a little longer, he's a dead ringer for Chuck Norris, man. Without question. He looks just as gross.
Oh, so where are we now?
So basically,
heading towards Vegas, I believe.
Yeah, MC Gainey, he makes MC Gainey, he gets to the front of the thing.
Right, this is where like Cameron Poe had also tied a rope around a post. Obviously, that's a dumb idea and doesn't work. And it attaches itself to the Colmenies as kicker car.
Correct.
Which Vince Larkin drove, U.S. Marshal Vince Larkin drove to Lerner Airfield.
And it is kaput.
Right, yeah, so you see it fly in the air, and it's beautiful, and it falls down, and like, bah, 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 bah.
Call Meany has one of those, like, my car,
yeah,
which
oh,
is
it's a classic
in any
car.
Movie. So yeah, like, Cameron Poe's just like, all right, you're going to land this plane right the fuck here.
And MCK's like, whatever you want, Big Daddy. Which is just kind of a great line no matter what.
Ed calling people Big Daddy is so awesome. Let me tell you, you got to be a confident guy to call someone else Big Daddy, man. Yeah.
Oh, you have to be of a certain stature for sure.
Absolutely.
Yes. You do not wish, like, if you're not that kind of guy, you don't know
don't
where that's
it.
Going.
You don't try it.
Yeah, don't do buddy. You know, it's not a buddy. It's Big Daddy. Let me get a pack of Marbreds and a magazine there, Big Daddy. $40.
So we go into Vegas, basically.
Yes, sir, Big Daddy. I'm marrying your little girl.
We're going to go right to the Vegas chapel right now.
Why don't you make that steak medium rare there, Big Daddy?
No, fill her up with regular there, Big Daddy.
Oh, come on, Big Daddy. This performance review isn't going anywhere I want it to go.
Can you put the butter halfway through the popcorn, Big Daddy, and then put more on top?
Concession popcorn. I think that's a perfect way to use Big Daddy.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you can get away with it there.
Just do it kind of quick, too. And or like they might not even notice it.
Starbucks bathroom? Are you done in there, Big Daddy, or what?
Oh, yeah.
That's you hold up the whole line.
Oh, here's a thing to do, is tell the Starbucks server that your name is Big Daddy. Just like, you got it. Yeah, just put Big Daddy on there.
Man, they hate gag names at Starbucks.
It's not a gag name. I am Big Daddy. Ask anyone here.
I have a frosted frappuccino for Big Daddy.
That's me. No, because you can't do that. That's how you get arrested for like sexual harassment. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what it's like. Okay. You're telling people to call you Big Daddy.
Yeah. I guess so. All
it's
right.
Not a
so,
sex worker.
So tell,
yeah,
them tell them your name is MacGruber when you order the large Tazo tea.
But then when you use it, thanks for it, Big Daddy. I think just casually calling people Big Daddy is just all right.
That works.
You're right. You know what? It's not. It's a good point. It's not in print. They can't prosecute you.
So we crash land in Vegas. We break through the Hard Rock Cafe.
Well, here's something that's important. So, like, they get back into Colmini's Apache helicopter, and they're about to shoot it down.
Oh,
and,
right.
Like, I say just shoot it down.
But, like, John Cusack's like, no, Cameron Poe's been helping us the whole time. He's the him and one guard, because I think all the other guards are dead. Or maybe there's two other ones, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like three people and, like, 20 criminals that have killed a million people and are getting away.
Acceptable loss. And, shoot them down. You take know, the shot.
Cusack says, no, don't do it. And he's like, okay. He convinces Colmini. So what happens next is this plane crash lands in Las Vegas.
Right
and
on
I mean,
strip.
Like, hundreds and hundreds of people are dying.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, this is a massive plane just wiping out the Vegas Strip. Way to go, Cusack. What a call.
Hey, there's one white man who's only killed one man on that plane. We got to save him.
And this thing just keeps going. I mean, it came out the same year as Speed 2. It's the same thing as that boat, man. It's not stopping.
There's not so many, quite as many gags of like, oh, let me put on my glasses. Oh, a large plane.
No, because too many people are busy dying instantly.
And propellers are going every which way but loose.
It's and also, wild. That's the directorial touch of Michael Bay.
Oh, sure.
It's the
in which? Because this is directed by Simon West.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I do say this is directed by
why
Simon
this is
West.
Not why this doesn't have them is because Bay didn't do this movie.
But did he do Speed 2?
No, but it's also a like a Bay trope.
It's a Bay-esque. Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, Michael.
It's in the Bay Area.
Bravo.
Michael Bay is like, all right, man, you got to jump out of this exploding car. Whatever you say, Big Daddy. It's your movie.
Yeah, he is Big Daddy for sure.
Michael Big Daddy Bay. Ew.
Someone, you know, we need enough people to do it. Change Michael Bay's IMDb name.
Oh, no, his Wikipedia page.
Yes.
Just pepper please. In as many Big Daddies as
do,
you can.
Make it subtle. Don't let them catch you.
Yeah, don't ruin this for
us. Put it in like his early days. In college, it was said that his friends at NYU Film or whatever
called him Big Daddy.
Big Daddy when he had in the room.
Big Daddy's next movie will be Transformers Revenge of the Fallen or whatever.
Transformers 5, we're still doing this. So then, the plane comes to a stop. It, like, rams into the Sands or some other hotel.
Sure.
And, like, we're kind of getting some people out. And then, like, John Malkovich, Bing Rames, and another guy.
And
MC Gainey and Big Daddy himself steal a fire truck and keep going.
And also, who could care? Because
as far as Cameron Poe is concerned, who could care?
And Cameron Crowe also.
Cameron Crowe cares?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, all right.
But, like, no police. There's, like, 1,000 police there at this point. They're kind of cleaning up. They're taking out the dead bodies, including that of Johnny 600. But, how does no one see them steal this fucking fire truck?
John Malkovich is literally riding on top
the
of it.
The fire truck's there because a plane crashed. Aren't firemen using it?
Yeah, hey, the fire's not... Oh, no.
Cyrus killed all those firemen.
Oh, you're going to need to send another truck down here, Big Daddy.
At one point, Malkovich is like spraying cops on motorcycles with a hose on the fire
truck.
Which
is pretty cool.
But it's cool.
Nick Cage is about to give the bunny to the little girl.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, wait, John Malkovich is leaving, so I better go chase him. And him and Cusack don motorcycles and have this, like, renegade to renegade's friend head nod
thing. Man, this nod is pretty cool. You know what? At that moment, they're both Big Daddy.
The fart rock has gone to 13 at this point.
I was kind of expecting, like, in Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers.
Totally.
One of those handshakes.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
But but you're doing it with
but
John
no muscle.
Cusack.
No muscle.
It's like a wet spaghetti.
You just nod and say, hey, little buddy.
And that's what we need. We need John Cusack in the sidecar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. He puts goggles on.
He's got a little Uzi he doesn't know how to use.
So we're flying down the strip still in this fire truck. Yeah, we're catching up on motorcycles.
We're spraying people with water.
Sure.
Basically, Nick Cage puts his life, again, like, Dude, just go home to your wife and kid. You were unjustly imprisoned for 7 years.
Your day is done.
They're on the land now. There's cops that have cars.
Yeah, you handled it, Big Daddy.
Also, the military, I mean, with the, what, you're thousands right. dead.
You're right.
The military is going to be there in a minute.
Chris is
They're going to find them
right.
and kill them.
His Grand Theft Auto star is off the charts.
Oh, man, it's we're at six. Yeah, dude.
And then, like, it's this ridiculous thing where Malkovich is, like, on the ladder,
mm-hmm.
and Cage, like, makes the ladder start, like, moving up, like it's tilting to the
right,
up
and
position.
He handcuffs him to it.
Oh, right, yeah.
On a scale of one
to... No getting
to,
out of that, Big Daddy.
On a scale of one to flying, how impossible is it to hold onto a ladder of a speeding fire truck? Like, at top speed, at this speed, and then move around, and then someone's going at your hands, and you still have the force to hold on.
It's impossible, but it's not Cage impossible.
Yeah, I couldn't do it when it's parked.
Teleporting?
Yeah, it's closer to teleporting than anything else.
Teleporting. On that range scale?
So then Cusack is, like, up on the front of the car, and he's putting an axe through it trying to get MC Gainey, and he puts the fire hose in and starts drowning him.
Which is great.
In the fire.
I can't breathe, Big Daddy! I'm going under, Big Daddy!
Define irony. Swamp thing drowned in swamp. Because it's like a swamp in there. I don't know why. Maybe he's dirty.
That's right, because Steve Buscemi's a genius, and everyone's dancing to Sweet Home Alabama, and he's like, define irony. Bunch of juggalos dancing on a plane to a band that famously died in a plane crash. Yeah. I'm in this movie for some reason.
So, whatever, man. Like, they go under...
Yeah, whatever,
they,
man.
They go under this overpass... And the ladder slams into it, and Malkovich goes flying, and I think he goes through a portal at this point.
Yes.
Because he instantaneously cuts from the Vegas Strip to some sort of, like, oil field or construction site or something.
I think it's an outworld or something.
He went to Badlands all of a sudden.
He falls onto electric wires, you know, like power lines,
yeah.
And he gets electrocuted. No, he's not dead yet. Because we're in a cartoon.
Yeah, he goes in, like, under this, like, smasher thing, which I think thing was invented.
It's like a conveyor belt of murder. Why is
this
there?
Precisely for smashing skulls, I think, is why.
And watermelons. Welcome to Gallagher Inc. This thing's going to put me out of business.
Yeah, totally.
That's a new special. Gallagher in this thing's going to put me out of business.
Maybe it's he goes to like a dystopian timeline or world where Gallagher runs the show.
Oh, yeah.
And this is
be.
Like Gallagher's guillotine.
It would be. Absolutely would be.
This big thing comes down on Malkovich's head and kills him. Mm-hmm. Cut back to Cage and his family. Cue the Leanne Rimes.
And she's not like, oh, dude, why did you just put your life in danger? For who?
I had to kill more people. I had the taste ever since I shoved that nose into that brain.
I had to save my favorite man, Baby-O.
Yeah, he will be put to death pretty quickly now.
I only kill people when it looks like I get away with it. It's justified. Didn't work that one time.
Just that one time I slipped up.
But you should have seen me in the army, Sugar Bee. Killed a lot of people.
And by the way, this is after fucking Nick Cage has fucking fished this fucking disgusting bunny out of the sewer. Filled with Las Vegas street sweat.
And Steve Buscemi's semen at this point.
Yeah, totally.
Lord knows what was going on at Con Air when there was a bunch of spin kicks happening.
So, yeah.
And he's like, here you go, Sugar Bear.
Here's your disgusting rabbit.
And she doesn't want it. And Monica Potter, the mother, is like, you take what your daddy gives you. And I'm like, not this time.
No, because this is a terrifying looking person coming up to your child.
He's bleeding. This dude is bleeding from his eyes.
And he's just like, I just got the thrill of killing people.
I look like the crucified Christ. Why didn't Nicolas Cage ever play Jesus Christ?
Oh, well.
I mean, it's still not too late.
He almost played Superman. That's kind of close.
That might be as close as it gets, actually, now that I think about it. So she takes that rabbit. It's disgusting. They have a big family hug. The child
is
like
hepatitis contagious.
Yeah, the child is still unsure about this family group hug, but she's just got to deal with it because she's like seven.
Just
and
do
then,
it.
And then like him and Monica Potter are just making out to LeAnn Rimes.
End of movie. Well, almost end of movie.
Oh, yeah. This is
a stinger scene. A
little
here.
Slip up there. Mr. Thanos. Buscemi. Garland Green hitting the craps table.
Like he was everybody's I mean, like he was fine. It's Steve Buscemi. It's the height of Steve Buscemi.
He was. I'll tell you what. He was everyone's favorite.
But he was a serial killer.
This was a star-making performance.
That narrowly stopped him killing a
little
girl.
I remember seeing this in the theater and then seeing that scene. And my eyes lit up. And yeah. I was like, anything is possible. It was a fun scene. It was like, wow, that's nice.
He gets like a Mai Tai delivered to him. And he's like, yep, I love gambling.
He also says in the middle of the movie that he drove through three states with wearing a woman's head as a hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm wooing for this guy.
Woo, Garland.
Garland Green, man. Mm-hmm. If this movie was made like nowadays, there'd be like a Garland Green mini movie on the DVD extras, you know?
Yeah.
Or like that full tea party scene.
Some bobbleheads.
Or, yeah.
Ah, yeah, that is the action-packed Con Air right there.
And then we get what Steve described as a victory lap.
Oh, the victory lap, yeah. New term coined.
Sweet Home Alabama starts.
Of course.
And it's like Cole Meany is agent whatever the fuck. And we go through the whole, and I mean the whole cast.
Every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's bad sitcom looking font too.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, a lot of people are looking at the camera and laughing. Yeah. And I'm like, what movie did I just watch? That guy's a serial killer. He's out there.
It's a movie that they had fun making.
That'd be great. If at the end of Silence of the Lambs, they did this victory laugh and it's like, Sweet Home Alabama. It's Ted Levine and like Anthony Hell. And everyone's just smiling.
Frankie face.
Yeah, because I'm having a friend for dinner.
Where would it be? So no goodbye horses for that victory lap?
No, you can only do a victory lap to Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, okay.
I could have done so much more. I could have. This watch.
It even goes over when they are visiting the grave.
No.
Turn it up.
Well, no, there was the two options that Spielberg had was the really poignant and incredibly moving scene where all the Holocaust survivors go back to the grave or the victory lap to Sweet Home Alabama.
I say split the difference.
There's two cuts.
I say split the difference.
Welcome back to the Titanic. We've been waiting for you.
Turn it up.
You notice at the start of that song, he says, "Turn it up."
Oh, absolutely, you got to turn that shit up, man.
I'll tell you, for like 10 years, I was convinced. I was like, he says tomato.
What?
Listen to the way he says, "Turn it up." Yeah, that start. It sounds like tomato.
Tomato.
It sounds like tomato.
I always heard "turn it up," and I did.
You say "turn it up," I say "tomato."
Paul is dead. Tomato. All of rock and roll's mysteries.
Tomato. Topato. Turn it up.
Yeah, I could see it happening. Now I'm gonna go back and check. I actually will.
Please do. Please do. It's there.
Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would. It's super fun. It's 2 hours long, which is a little bit long.
Yeah.
If we stood in the air, I'd be a lot happier. But it's fun. It's what I like this period of shitty Bruckheimer movies, like this. Yeah. The Rock is actually a really good movie. But like those kinds of action movies. Totally.
Oh, this is a big recommend. I mean, come on. This is classic 90s cinema. I won't say classic cinema because that's terrible to say. But this, for the 90s, this is a little time capsule.
Oh, sure.
I would say light recommend. I really don't need, like, to Steve's point, like, the rape, again, is a very heavy spice.
Oh, there's a lot of weird stuff in here, man. Yeah.
But that and the kid stuff specifically, I was like, no, not here, guys.
Yeah, no, it's rough.
But it's still, other than that, it's
there's weird spices in this stew, man. It's weird stuff.
I would say I could use this as a hangover movie.
Of course.
And just like kind of nod off and try to dodge all that casual racism and other uncomfortable things.
Yeah, that'd be
it.
Nice.
And just like kind of wake up for the splosions.
Sure.
Oh, and the spin kicks too.
Right? Oh, and the spin kick. Oh, yeah,
that's only like one or two spin kicks. Not nearly enough.
Not enough.
That's Con Air from 1997, directed by Simon West. If you want to get a hold of us, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at whmpodcast. And, of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review this show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate
you gotta
it.
You got to do that. Come on.
Got to do it.
Come
gotta
on.
Do it.
Come on. What are you doing? What are you waiting for?
You know you got to do? Buy tickets to our LA show, man.
That's
it's September 22nd. You go to the Hollywood Improv website that Andrew has the information for.
Hollywood.improv.com.
See, look at that.
And that is it for season 6 of We Hate Movies. Stay tuned for several weeks of reruns and live shows.
Live shows. Don't go to live shows. And live shows.
And
shows
live
you've never
shows.
Heard before.
Yes. So there will be some new stuff. And
a
we're going
to. Predator 2 episode.
Yes. And Jupiter Ascending. And
right.
potentially others. But. There's also going to be reruns, guys. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying, like, I want to get whatever old episode.
Yeah.
You know? So some of these older episodes that you might not have been able to grab from the archives will be coming to the main feed.
Keep checking that feed.
Yeah. It's
every
it's,
Tuesday.
It's
every
exciting.
Tuesday, like clockwork, we'll be putting out new newish content.
Yeah. It's like a best of with 25% new footage.
Absolutely.
It's the Rocky IV of episodes.
And we will be back in September. More bad movies, same group of fellas. Chris Cavan will have returned.
I will indeed.
We'll go out on one word to get you primed for WHM season 7. Patreon.
Oh,
that's right. So stay tuned to our social media.
Yeah,
because that stuff's going to be made available.
You enjoy the show? Maybe you support it a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe
we'll
maybe you call your mother sometime.
So until September, I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Seda,
Eric Siska,
Chris Cavan.
Take it easy.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home.
When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.